Begin the current daf himself. Let's get in daf samach. Begin on the bottom line of daf in the Testament base, where the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf. That is, the Mishnah had begun telling us things that are mipnei dark Yishalom, because to promote peace and tranquility and to avoid discord, the Chacham instituted certain halachas. The first of them mentioned was that when it comes to regarding getting aliyahs, and for sure on Shabbos and Yom Tov, that we want first the Kohen, then the Levi, then the Yisrael, so that there's no disagreements regarding the order of the aliyahs. Now, that Agamar continues and says, Shalchu le b'nei Galil Reb Chelboi. Now, the people from the Galilee, they sent Reb Chelboi the following question. But achareyen, after Kohen Levi, so you took care of the first two aliyahs. And yes, during the weekday when there's three aliyahs, fine, so the third one's going to be Yisrael. But the question is, as we continue on top of Samach Amar Aleph, mi karen, after them, after Kohen Levi, is there on Shabbos and Yom Tov, when there's seven aliyahs, is there then also an order to promote peace so that there is no disagreement about, we know going in, that Shlishi, Revi, Chamishi, we know who gets what, instead of everyone just scrambling and fighting to get the earlier aliyah. So the Gemara tells Lo Hava B'Yada, he didn't have an answer. Asa V'Shayla L'Reb Yitzchak Nafka. So then the Reb Chelbi went to ask the question of Reb Yitzchak Nafka. Amalei, so he said to him as follows, he says, Achareyan, after Kohen and Levi, in order of this hierarchy, current Talmidei Chachamim, you first call up Talmidic scholars, Hamamudin Parnosim Alatzibur, that are appointed to positions of taking care of the public's needs. They're higher on the list. V'achareyin, after them, Talmidei Chachamim Haru'uyim L'mnosim Parnosim Alatzibur. Regarding Talmudic scholars that actually don't have any positions in the Tzibur, but they would be fit to get that position. Whereas the Gemara tells us in Masechta Shabbos Kavridal Medalav, who's considered a Talmudic scholar that's fit to be appointed a Parnas on the Tzibur? It's anyone that if you would ask him a Dvar Halacha in any area, he would know and be able to tell you, that's an appropriate Talmud Chacham that could be in charge of the public needs. He comes then after that. Macharei, and then after them, are B'nei Talmid Chachamim Shabbisein Mu'unim Parnosim Al HaTzibur. The sons of the Talmudic scholars that their fathers are a Parnas, are those who take care of the public's needs. They're next in the hierarchy. V'acharein, Rosh HaKnesis, and after them come the heads of the shuls that take care of those things. And v'chol adam, and after that, every single person. So again, since we have a hierarchy, we have a checklist, we know no one's going to fight anymore because there is a Tamter Kanz Chachamim even after Kohen and Levi. Another question that Shalchu le b'nei Galil Reb Chelboi, a similar question that the people of Galil sent Reb Chelboi, Ma'o likris b'chumashim b'beis HaKnesis b'tzibur. What's halacha? Can you read from a chumash in shul for the tzibur when this kriyas haTorah? Now, what a chumash is based on, chumash comes from the word of a fifth. That means there's chamisha chumashi Torah, that the Torah has five parts, bereshis, and shmois, v'yikra, b'midbar, and v'am, that it's split up into. Now, in the times of the Talmud, their chumashim were written, everything was written, there was no printing press, it was all written on a scroll, like the way our Sefer Torah is written. So the question that they had asked, can we have, let's say they're in parashas, Noach, can they have a scroll just of Sefer Bereishis, which is a chumash? Can they read from that in by the tzibur for the kriyas haTorah? So Lahav b'yadir b'chelu did not have that answer either. Also shaylo Reb Yitzchak Nafka. So he came to ask Reb Yitzchak Nafka, and Lahav b'yadir, he also didn't even have the answer to this question. Also shol b'medrash, so they came to ask the question, and the Beis Medrash in the study hall, upashtua, and the Bnei Yeshiva resolved the question, Mahad Amr B'Shumel Banachmeni Amr B'Yechanan. From the following halacha of Rabbi Yechanan. Rabbi Yechanan said, Sefer Torah Shechasi Riya Achas. If a Torah scroll is missing just one parchment, one part of the whole entire Sefer Torah, in Karambai, you can't read from it. So they showed that you see you have to have an entire Sefer Torah to read from it. So you see that one chumash wouldn't be enough. And the Gemara says, Blahi, no, that's not true, that's not a proof. Because Hasam Michser B'Milse. There, what is that? It's a Sefer Torah. Now, it's a deficient Sefer Torah. It's missing something that it normally is supposed to have. That you can't read from. Hachal Mechseh B'Milse, here a Chumash is not missing anything. It's a complete Chumash. Maybe that you could read from. But the Gemara concludes, Rabbi Rabbi Yisrael and Amr Tavayah, they both said, Ein Karim B'Chumashim B'Veis HaKnesses. You cannot read Kriyas HaTorah for the Tzibur from a Chumash. Again, not our print of Chumashim, but from a fifth scroll of the entirety in the shul, when they covered tzibur, because of the honor of the public, it's not appropriate to have just one-fifth. You have to have an entire sefer Torah. Now, a related discussion also from Rabbi of Rabbi Yisrael Damit Havayu, that they both say, Hai sefer aftarta. There's a sefer that had just the haftarahs that are read on certain times in the shul that we read a haftarah from Navi, which was taken related to the parasha, asur lemikre be b'shabbos. So he says you can't read from that sefer haftarahs on Shabbos. My time, what's the reason? Deloy nitin likasiv. Because you're not allowed to write anything less than one whole sefer of Torah or of Nevi'im, and the fact that you have it just written of that Torah is something you can't write, and therefore you can't go ahead and read from it to utilize when you're reading for the Haftarahs on Shabbos. Now, Mahabar Avashim, he says actually even more, on Shabbos, not only can't you read from it because you're not supposed to write less than a whole sefer and just pick out that Haftarah, that Perek, or whatever it is, but you can't even move it on Shabbos. My time, why? Because since you can't read from it, so it's something what's called as mukta, it's set aside, it's not for Shabbos use, because you can never use it. So since you can't use it, it's like something that's not usable, like for example a rock, something that's not usable, it's considered mukta, you can't even move it. Now the Gemara, however, says, v'lohi. Actually, both of these points are not correct. Shari l'taltuli, you're allowed to move this sefer haftaras, and v'shari l'mikribe, you could also read from it. And we'll prove it because Rabbi Yechon and Rish Lakish, they would look into the books of Agadus, of homiletic teachings on Shabbos. Now, the question is, Sefer Agadus, and essentially anything, was not allowed to be written, because anything of the Talmud, whether Halacha or Agada, as the Gemara tells us later on, was not supposed to be written. Only Torah Shavik Sav was supposed to be written. Now, Ella, rather, and actually this is what we're learning from a Talmud here, Kivin Delei Efshir, since it wasn't possible not to write it. Because as the story is, that at a certain point in history, the Jewish people had diminished capacity and the Torah was starting to be forgotten. So therefore, as based on the Pasuk of Tehillim, what's called Eis Lasis LaHashem, when there comes a time to do a takana, to rectify the situation for the sake of heaven, we can nullify words of Torah at the appropriate time with the appropriate Das Torah. So therefore, then the Mishnayos were written, then the Gemara was written, which is what we're learning from, although it was always Baal Peh, it was always orally. Hachanami here also is the same case, meaning, so just like Rish Lakish and Rabbi were able to read from Sefer Dagadata, because you're allowed to write it down already, although the halacha really is that you shouldn't. And therefore, since you're allowed to read from it, you could also move it on Shabbos. So here also the same thing applies to the discussion over here by the Sefer Aftarta, Kivin Doli Afsha. Since it's not possible, it's not feasible to expect every single shul to have an entire Sefer of Nevi'im for the Haftarah that you're reading that week, so that's also Eis Las Lashem Eferes Arasecha. That's also where it's a requirement for us to have the Haftarah, and it's not feasible to expect every shul to have a separate scroll for that Sefer Navi, so that nullifies this halacha of not being able to have written something less than that Sefer, and therefore you could have the Sefer Haftarah even though it's not that amount, and therefore you could read from it and you can move it on Shabbos. Now, a related discussion, the Gemara tells us about writing less than a full Sefer. Abai asked from Rabbi the following question. What's the halacha of writing a scroll, meaning taking one or two parashas from the Torah and just writing that, not writing a whole Sefer Torah, and not even writing a whole Sefer, because we're doing it for children. That is, they didn't have printed things like we had. They had to write separate for each child. So you can't give every child a Sefer Torah, and you're writing just that parasha that they're studying in yeshiva, in the shul, to learn from what's the halacha. Can you do that or not? So the Gemara explains the two sides of the question according to two different opinions. This could be asked both according to the opinion, which we'll mention this machlekes a little later on, that Torah Megillah Megillanin. The Torah, as it was given scroll by scroll. And that is, when Hashem would tell a parasha to Moshe Rabbeinu, he would immediately write it down. And at the end of the 40 years, when he finished all the parashas, then he sewed them together with sinews, and he sewed it. Then it was put into one big Sefer Torah. But as it was given in scrolls. That's what one opinion holds. And to Baya Lamanda Amma, you could ask the question that we're asking regarding can you write for school children just a little bit at a time, also according to the opinion that says that Torah Chasumanin, that the Torah was actually given closed. In other words, it wasn't written by Moshe Rabbeinu until the end of the 40 years. After he had learned all the parashas from Hashem, meaning what was said to him in the first year, in the second year, and so on, were organized by him orally until at the end of the 40 years he wrote it down in one shot. So you could ask this question according to either one of these opinions, as the Gemara explains. You could ask the question, according to the one who holds, that the Torah was given to Moshe Rabbeinu scroll by scroll by scroll. So you could say, keep the Megillah, Megillah, Nitna, since that's how the Torah was actually originally given, was scroll by scroll. So Kaisman, so you could also write it a scroll just for a certain parts for having the children learn. Or maybe you could say that no. Even the Idbak, since ultimately at the end of the 40 years, they were all attached, and that's how we have our Sefer Torah all attached. So Idbak, it was attached, and you can't write anymore, just a scroll by scroll. And you could ask the question, also according to the Pin that holds, that the Torah was given, it was only written, it was only given up when it was sealed altogether. What would the question be? Since it was given sealed, so in Kaisman, so therefore you can't write it just one scroll for a child. Maybe you'll say, as we mentioned this logic before, since it's not possible, you can't a Sefer Torah for every child that's in the yeshiva, a whole Sefer Torah, you just want to write a few lines, you want a small Megillah. Therefore, since it's not possible, just like we said regarding every shul not having their own Sefer Nevi'im for every Haftarah, so therefore, Kasvinan, maybe there, even according to Mandama, that Torah Chasumanitna, you would be able to write a Megillah for each child. So Amalei, so Rabbi responded to Abaye in Kaisman, no, you can't write a Megillah, just a small part of a Sefer Torah for a child. You don't do that. It has to be the whole thing. Now, Matam, what's the reason? Lafish in Kaisman, because we don't write. In other words, because even according to the Mandama that holds that it was given Megillah, Megillah, but ultimately, even the Idbak, once it was attached, we write only a whole Sefer Torah. We don't write separate scrolls, and therefore you can't write for a child just one parasha or two parashas. We only write a whole Sefer Torah. Now, on this, the Gemara asks, Esebei, the Gemara asks from a Mishnah Masechtas Yoma. The Mishnah says, Afhi, that also another thing that was praiseworthy that Hilni Hamalka had done, which is brought in Masechtas Yoma, Daf Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph, was Asasa Tavla Shel Zav. She made a tablet out of gold. She Parsha Saita Kesubala, that the Parsha of Saita, which are certain things that have to be written on the scroll of the Saita, which is then erased in the water that she drinks, so they would write the parashas from what they would see on that tablet, they would write on the scrolls. So the question is, you see that only one parasha in the Torah, not the whole Sefer Torah, was written on this tavla. So you see that you could write Megillah, you don't have to write the whole Sefer Torah. So Amr Shimon ben Lakish, Mishim Rabbiana, he explains, no, ba'alef beis. It wasn't written word, every letter. It was written in Rashi Tavis, it was written acronyms with alef beis. So if let's say I had to say, Im Shachav, it would write Aleph Shin, and Im Loi Shachav was Aleph Lamed Shin, so therefore it's no problem. You're right, if it was writing it full the way out, that would be problematic, because we only write the whole Sefer Torah, not just Megillah Megillah, but it was actually written only in the abbreviations. Now, on this interpretation that the Gemara is answering, the Gemara asks Esve from the following Brisa. The Brisa says, Kishu Kaisev, when the Kain, who would write the Parsha of Saita on the scroll to erase in the water, Raya v'kaisev mashakasev tablet. He would look and he would see what was written on this tablet, and that Hilni Hamalka made it into gold, and he would write that down on the paper. That sounds like that he would write exactly verbatim, word for word. Problem is, he wouldn't write exactly what was written, because you just said it was written in Rashi Tavis. So the Gemara says, Ema, that's not a difficulty. Say what the Brayis is saying is, kemashakasev tablet, as like what was written in the tablet. In other words, according to the signs, you understand that that's what the Aleph means and that's what the Shin means, and then you write it, in other words, but because you're breaking the code of the Rosh HaTavis. But it's not word for word, because you're right, the words weren't actually written on that tavla. But the Gemara continues asking, Esau, you learn the Braisa that says, Kishu Kaisev, when he would write, the Kayan, Raya B'tavla B'Kaisev, Masha Kasa B'tavla, he would look at the tablet, and he would write as it was written on the tablet. Mahu kasa b'tavla, and this Brisa goes further and says, and what was written in the tablet? Im shachav, if she laid with the man, then so on. Im loy shachav, if she didn't lay, then so on. So you see that what was written were actual words and not just Rashi Tavis. So that contradicts the answer that we gave before, and then it's back difficult on Rabba that you see that you could write Megillah. You could write just a part of the Sefer Torah. So the Gemara says, no, it's not difficult this either, because hacha ma'iskinen, how do we explain this Brisa, is b'seirugin. It's when it skips. In other words, yes, the beginning of the pasuk wrote out the words entirely. It said im shachav, and the other pasuk that it wrote was im loy shachav. But the end of the pasuk was Rashi Tevis, and therefore that's how we resolve both. Yes, part was written, but it wasn't the whole parasha to say that we're writing Megillah, because you cannot write a separate parasha without writing the whole Sefer Torah. but part of it was written, and the end was Rosh HaTevis. Now the Gemara goes back to what we mentioned before regarding this question that Abaye had from Rabbah, which Rabbah said you cannot write Megillah Megillah. Now the Gemara says actually Kitanoi. It seems like it's a Machlokes Tanoim if you're allowed to write the parashas from the Torah separately on a separate Megillah, not having the whole Sefer Torah written. Because the Braisa says, Ein Kais Vin Megillah Latinik L'Islamiba, like Rabbah had said, you cannot write a separate scroll for a child to learn from. But the Braisa says, the Tanna Kama says, Vim Daiti L'Hash L'Muta, if it's intending to complete it, meaning he only wrote this so far, so now he's giving it to the child to learn from, but he plans on finishing it into Sefer Torah, then you could do that. So, but generally, you're not allowed to. But Rabbi Huda, he disagrees, and he says, B'bereishis Adar Hamavl, you could write separate Megillahs, but it has to be a full parsha. So, for example, you could write from the beginning of Bereishis until where it talks about the generation of the flood. So, to Beteres Koinim and Seif Vayikri, you could write from the beginning, Advayhi Bayam Hashmini, until the where it says, and it is on the eighth day, which that was the end of the Karbanis, which is what Seif Vayikri starts with. So, he holds that you could write Megillah separately, you could write a separate scroll, but again, it has to be a whole topic by itself. So, it seems like that this question of Abai is actually Machloikis Tanoim. Now, the Gemara goes back to what we had alluded to earlier on the Amid, was regarding this machlokes, how the Torah was originally given. So, Amar B'yechin Shem Rebbeinah, he says that Torah Megillah Megillah Netna, the way the Torah was originally given to Moshe Rabbeinu, was scroll by scroll by scroll, he wrote it as he got it. Shneva, like it says a pasuk in Tehillim, where David HaMelech says, Ozamarti, David HaMelech says that, then I said, what's then? So Rashi explains that it was at that time when Shaul and Doeg were trying to invalidate him from entering into the Jewish people. Whereas the Gemara in Yuvam Mastav Ein Zayin Amud Aleph tells us that then there was a testimony given in the Beis Medrash that no, there's no problem. Although his great-grandmother was from the people of Mayav, but it's not a problem because Mayavi v'loy Mayavis, Amoyni v'loy Amoynis. The females of those nations have no problem entering the Jewish people. It's only the males, and David HaMelech descends from the females. So it was at that time that David HaMelech said, Oh, hine basi, behold, I have come, meaning now I have entered into the klal of the Jewish people, because now was the first time that this was darshened for the public. Now I know I'm part of the Jewish people. But then he continues and he says, but it's not really true. It's actually b'megillas sefer kasavalai. It's in the scroll of the book that was written on me. In other words, the truth is that really it's already in the Torah, that in Chumash, it was already written regarding me. How so? Because in Bereishis Yotes, it says, V'eshtei b'neisaych ha'nemtzois. Regarding light, it was told to men, regarding your two daughters that are found, which that word ha'nemtzois is saying that it's in the merit of David HaMelech that was ultimately going to come from Rus ha'moyaviyah, which is from Moyav, which is the child of one of the two daughters of light, and so to Nama ha'moynis, which was a woman that came from the people of Ammon, which was the son of one of the other daughters of Leit, who she was the mother of Rechavam, which is from Shlaima, that's why it says over here, Hanemtzois, because it says within Tilim Peites, Metzosi David Avdi, I found David my slave, my servant, to tell that it was actually Hanemtzois, why is Leit and his two daughters being saved? It was only because of who's going to descend from them, which is David HaMelech, that it says Metzasi. But so that's what David HaMelech was saying. But one thing that we see from what David HaMelech was saying is that he's calling the Torah Megillah Sefer. So we see that the Sefer Torah is called a Megillah. Now the reason why the Torah would be called Megillah is because originally the Torah was written a Megillah, Megillah, Megillah. That first when Moshe Rabbeinu heard, he wrote Bereishis, then he wrote the Megillah of Noach, then he wrote the Megillah of Avram, Parshas Lech Lecha, and so on. And that's what David HaMelech was saying. It's the Megillah that's written by Avraham Avinu that was already written about me, that I'm really part of the Jewish nation already back then. It was already then that Hashem had already planned this, not now when the drasha of Amoinia, Vlei Amoinis, was said in the Beis Medrash. So that's the source for Rabbi Yechanan. Whereas Rabbi Shimon B'Lakush, he disagrees. He says, Torah chasum nitna. The Torah was given complete, whole, and finished off. Only then was it written by Moshe Rabbeinu. Shenema, as he brings the source and passing in the Devarim, says Lokoyach es Sefer Torah, and the gear says actually Hazeh, to take this Sefer Torah, which is that it's one unit, it was written as a whole thing, not as separate scrolls. Now the Gemara asks, V'idach Nami o Ksiv Lokoyach, what does Rabbi Yochanan do with this Pasuk of Rish Lakish? It sounds like that it's one unit, it's not separate scrolls. So now he explains Ahula Basa the Idbak. That's after, yes, Moshe Rabbeinu wrote it scroll by scroll by scroll. Then at the end of the 40 years, he put it together, and that's what he's saying to take the Sefer Torah. That's only at the end, but originally it was actually written as scrolls. Now the Gemara asks, Be'idach, Nami, what does Rish Lakish do with Rabbi Yechanan's source? Haksib b'Megillah Sefer Kasabalai. Why would it be called Megillah if not like Rabbi Yechanan says it was written Megillah Megillah? Rish Lakish holds it wasn't written scroll by scroll. So why is it called Megillah Sefer? So that the Gemara answers, Hahu, that's because the Chol HaTorah Kula Ikra Megillah. It's not like Rabbi Yechanan is saying because it was written scroll by scroll. It's actually the whole entire Torah has also the same a term that it's called a Megillah, a scroll. That's like we find it, like a pasuk like this in Zechariah that says Vayomer Alai Matarai, and they said to me, "What do you see?" Vayomer, and they said, "Ani Raya Megillah Af." I see a floating scroll, which was that was a Sefer Torah. So we see that a Torah is called Megillah, and therefore there's no Raya to Rabbi Yechanan. So it says Rish Lakish that it means it was written scroll by scroll. That's one answer. Inami, another answer for Rish Lakish. Why, if the Torah was not given scroll by scroll, is it called Megillah, as we see David HaMelech calls it Megillah Sefer? That's Likud Reb Levi. That's like because like Reb Levi had taught. The Amr Reb Levi, that Reb Levi had said, Shemayna Parashis Nemru Bayayim Shehukam Bayham Mishkan. There were eight different parashis in the Torah that was said and written on the day when the Mishkan was erected in the second year when the Jewish people were in the desert. In other words, because there were certain, there were, these eight parashis were necessary for that day, so therefore they were said and written and given over that day. Now, each one of them had to be written in their own scroll. The reason being is because they're distant and separate from each other in the Sefer Torah. And as Rish Lakish actually says, that when it was written, it was only at the end of the 40 years when they were all put together. So you can't write them contiguous because they're actually from different parts. Says Rish Lakish, according to the second answer in the Gemara, that's why the whole Sefer Torah is called a Megillah, because when they ultimately completed at the end of the 40th year, they had to, well, what do you do now? Already eight parashas already written way before in the beginning of the 40 years. So Moshe Rabbeinu had to write from Bereishis until Parshas Koyanim itself. And then he had to skip Parshas Koyanim because that was already written in the beginning of the 40 years. Then he wrote from Parshas Koyanim until the Parsha of Shiluch Tameim and so on, and all the things that we're going to see these eight parshas. So that is why it's called Megillah, because actually originally they were written as eight different Megillahs, so everything was separate. But really the truth is when it was written at one point at the end of the 40 years, except for these eight different parshas. Now Elihain, what are the eight parashas that were necessary that had to be written on the day that the Mishkan was originally erected in the Midbar? First of them was Parshas Koyanim, the parsha pertaining to the halachas of the Kohanim, which is in Parshas Emor, Emor El HaKohanim, where the halachas of the Kohuna are written over there, where it says Leitama, that what not allowed to become Tame, Leikach, who they're not allowed to marry, Mum Leigash, if they have a blemish, then I'll do the Avoida. Now, the reason being is because on that day they had to do the Avoida, so therefore it was important to notify them of their sanctity, how it pertains to their doing the Avoida. The next one that had to be written that day was Uparshas Levim, which in Parshas Baal Yischa, where it says, Kaches Alevim, that you should take the Levim as secondary to assist the Kohanim in their Avoida in the Beis HaMikdash, where it says the Halachas of Levia. Now, the reason why that had to be that day was because they had to sing the Shira. The Shira was the song that Levim sang, which on the day the Mishkan was erected, they had to start doing their song. That's why that had to be given that day too. Third one is Uparshas Temeim. Now the Parsha Temeim is what's called Vayihu Anoshim, which was that there were certain men that were Temeim Lenefesh all the way there in the beginning when Nadav and Avihu had passed away according to one interpretation. So this pertained to the halachas of Pesach, where because the Mishkan was erected on the first of Nisan. Now, they were warned, as we'll see in the next parsha that had to be written, in what's called Sheluach Tameim. Anyone that's Tameim, once the Mishkan was put up, then the parsha of Vayishalchu Min HaMachna started pertaining. Because it was on that day that the three machnas, the three different camps, started, because up until that point there was no Machna Shechina. When the Mishkan was put up, oh, that became the Machna Shechina. Then there was Machna Levi around that. And then there was Machna Yisrael around that. So then at that day, on the first day, when the Mishkan was put up, that's when it started being that whoever was Tameh has to be sent out of these camps. Again, every Tameh, Tumah accordingly, some from Machna Shechina, some from Machna Levi, some from Machna Yisrael also. So therefore, the Tameim that were Tameh at that point had to ask, since we now just found out that we're going to have to be sent out, and we're not going to be able to come into the Mishkan to bring our Karban Pesach, how are we going to do our Karban Pesach that's coming up in a few days? Now, as Rashi explains, that according to Reb Levi, of course, they could become Tahor until the 15th, and if you're Tahor by the 15th, you're not going to have to do Pesach Sheni, which is this Parsha of Tumah that we're talking about, which tells us that Rebbe is Tomei LeNefesh when Pesach comes around, then brings one 30 days later by Pesach Sheni. But that's only if they don't become tar. But since it pertains already for them, so they wanted to know, what would the halacha be? We know we're going to have to be sent out now. What's halacha if on the 15th of Nisan we also still have to be sent out? What do we do then? That's why that was taught that day, which again is the parasha that says, if you're Tamei by the 15th of Nisan, then you'll bring a carbon 30 days later by Pesach Shein. The next parasha that was taught, which is very much related to the previous one, is the parasha Shiluach Tamei, which is in Sefer Bamidbar that says, Veishalchu Menamachna, that you send the certain tumas, the more stringent accordingly, how far they have to be sent out, which again started that day because it was that day that the Mishkan was poured up, where you started Machna Shechina, that the camps and their halachas and their areas started that day. And the proof of that is because actually when the pareches would be taken away, when they would move the camps as they were going in the desert, all the different masayis, actually then Zavin and Mitzaron were permitted to come into the other areas because then there were no mamachnas. So the whole halacha of being sent out started on the day where the Mishkan was erected, because then you have the machnas settled over there and the concentric circles of the machnas around it. That's why that day was when the halacha of Shiluach Tameim was taught. Then the next parasha was Uparshas Achrei Mais, where although similarly that has nothing to do with the day that the Mishkan was erected, because that's actually the halacha that applies to Yom Kippurim, but it was taught that day, as it actually teaches that what it's called is actually called Parshas Achrei Mais, which is after the death of the sons of Aaron, because they came in inappropriately, unprepared to bring this Ketoris in the Beis Hamikdash, in the Mishkan. So that's why it was warned to Aaron at that point in time, Al Yaveh B'chaleis L'Kodesh. You can't just come whenever you want into the Kodesh Kodeshim. That's on Yom Kippur, and it requires this and this and this and that. So the parasha of Yom Kippurim was told on that day because it was actually as a postscript to Achrei Mois, which was on that day of B'yim Shehokam by Mishkan, which was the day that Nadav Avihu had passed away. Another parasha, as we continue on to Amud Beis, that was taught that day was Uparasha Shtuya Yain, the halacha of forbidden to be intoxicated with wine and enter into the Mishkan, which because it was from that day and onward that they became forbidden to, because the Torah says that you're not allowed to drink and enter in the Oil Maid. That's only when the Oil Maid was put up, the tent of the assembly, which was B'yim Shehokam by Mishkan. And Uparasha Neris, the parasha of Baaloischas Aneris, which was, since on that day they started lighting the menorah, that's why that had to be taught that day. And finally, Uparasha's Paraduma, the parasha of the red heifer, which, since the following day, on Beis Nisan, was when the first Paraduma was burnt to have its ashes, to make the people pure, to bring their carbon Pesach on the 14th of Nisan. So before that, they couldn't have done to burn the Paraduma. Because as the Pasuk says in Bamidbar Yotes, it says, V'hizel noichil p'nei oil moed. One of the requirements of spraying people with the ash of the Paraduma is that you do it facing towards the oil moed, and before the oil moed is put up, you can't do that. As the Gemara explains in the Yerushalmi Masechtas Megillah, that says on the first of Nisan the Mishkan was put up, and on the second day of Nisan was when they first burned the Paraduma, and that's why they had to teach that parasha on B'yem Shehokam by Mishkan, because that's a necessary a prerequisite for the Paraduma to have Pnei Oil Maid. And again, but that's why this is the answer, the second answer the Gemara gives for Resh Lakish. That's why the Torah is called a Megillah, because originally they had to write these eight separate parashas, and then other ones, the other scrolls were attached at the end of the 40 years, but really it was given Chasuma at the end, except for these eight exceptions, but that's why it could have the term of Megillah given to it. Now, continuing on the theme about the Torah, as we were just talking about how it was written, how it was given, so Amr Belazar, he says, Torah, the Torah, Raiv Biksav. The majority of the Torah is in writing. In other words, the majority of the Torah, even what's not written in the Chumash, in the Sefer Torah itself, but they're contingent in expounding the written part of the Torah. To expound it, for example, let's say what's called Klal Uprat. What's written, you look at the general term, and then in the specific term, and then there's a drasha based on that. Or Gzeirah Shava, where it says this word here and it says this word there. Or other midas shatar nidash behen, which are yud gemal midas, there's 13 different ways how to extrapolate and interpret, based on the Messiah, with different words but that are written in the Torah. Umir al-peh, there's a minority of the Torah that there's no allusion to it whatsoever in the words of the Torah itself. It's just what's called halacha l'maisha m'sinai. These are halachas that were said to Maisha and were given over orally to the Jewish people. That's only a minority of the Torah. Shenem, like it says, the Pasuk in Isaiah that he proves that the Navi says that even though Echtav loy rubei tairasi that I've written for them the majority of my Torah, still kamoi zar nachshava, he's rebuking them, still it's like foreign to them. They consider it as foreign. But you see from that pasuk that the majority of the Torah is written, and that's where the drushes for them, at least they're alluded to in the written words. Now, Rabbi Yechanan, he argues on Rabbi Lazar, and he says, no, Reival Pash, the majority is straight oral, Umit Biksav, and the minority is in the writing. Shnem, like it says, he proves from a pasuk in Shemais, and this is in Shemais Lamadalt Chav Zayin, where the pasuk says, Ki al pi hadvar me'ela, because according to, which literally means to say the mouth of these words, that's what the pasuk says, Karati itcha bris, it's on that that I have made a covenant. I cut a covenant with you, Be'esisah, and the Jewish people. So you see that it's on what's Baal Peh, on the oral, which is made a Krisis Bris. So obviously we see, it says Rabbi Yechanan, the majority, it's what's given over orally. Now, but the Gemara asked Rabbi Yechanan, Ve'idach Nami, but Rabbi Yechanan too, Haksiv Echtav Le Rubi Teirasi, what does he do with the Pasuk in Yeshaya? That almost sounds pretty clear that the majority of it was written. So in that, the Gemara answers for Rabbi Yechanan, no, Hahu Atumui Kamatma. The Navi is expressing in wonderment, saying like, what, Echtav Le Rubi Teirasi? What do you mean? What do you think? You think that would help, that I should write the majority of my Torah? Meaning it's not. Actually, it's only the minority. The majority is oral. But what, you think that would help? What do you mean? Haloi, but even that little that I did write for them, Kamei Zara Nachshavu, they consider like foreign. So don't tell me that if it would be written, then it would be better, because even the little that is written, they treat it as foreign. But it's not that the majority is written. It's saying, what, you think I should? Because it's actually not. Now the Gemara asks, B'idach Nami, what does Rabbi Elazar do? Haksiv ki al pi hadvar me'ela. What does he do with the pasuk in Shemais from Rabbi Yechanan? It sounds like it's al pi hadvar me'ela, that the krisis bris, which seemingly would be on the majority, that's what the covenant would be on, is based on the oral. So that the Gemara answers, no, hahu, that pasuk then is actually the minority. The minority was oral. But mishum dit kifa limigmarinu. Since it's very hard to learn what's written, what's oral, because you really got to internalize it and integrate it, because what's written is written. Okay, you have it in front of you, you have the visual. So that's why, since it was harder, although it is the minority, like Rabbi Elazar says, but that's why the krisis bris was on Torah Shabbat Peh, on the oral law. The Gemara continues and says, Darsh Rabbi Yehuda bar Nachmeni, who was Metugumani de B'Shim Malakish, he was the interpreter of B'Shim Malakish. He says, on the one hand, it's very difficult to understand this pasuk. Ksiv, it says over there in that pasuk, Shemais, Ksav lo chesed var me'ela, write down these words for you. So obviously it was written. But then in Ksiv, then it says at the end of the part of the pasuk, Kal pihad var me'ela, because based on these pihad var me'ela, on the mouth, the oral transmission of these things, obviously the Torah was not written. So Haketz said, how do we understand this? What, it was written or was it not? What is it that the Torah is telling us? So actually, it's telling you both, that there's actually both, and they have to stay mutually exclusive. And that is, Devarm Shebiksav, those words which I told you in writing, I'atir eshor lo amin apeh, you're not allowed to give it over to the Jewish people orally. It has to be written. You can't say the psukim by heart. Devarm Shebal peh, I'atir eshor lo amin biksav. And the other way is also true. The oral law cannot be given over into writing. Which Rashi tells us that from here is where we learn that the Talmud was really not allowed to be written. It's only because the Torah is being forgotten. That's why the Mishnayos was first written down by Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, and then later on, the Amiram put together the Gemara. And that's what it teaches us, that there's Ksav and there's Alpeh, and they have to stay separate. The Bei Rishmoltan, that he teaches, it says in that pasuk that Eila, that these are the words, to tell you that Eila Ata Kaisa, that it's only this that you could write. The Yatar Kaisav Halachas, again, the same idea, but you're not allowed to write the halachas that were L'Moshe Mitzinai, that has to stay oral. Only what was written could be written. The rest has to be the oral law. So to Omer Bechen, he says, Lo Karas HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bris Im Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not cut a covenant with the Jewish people, Ela B'Shal Dvar M'Shabal Peh, only because of the Torah that was given over orally. Shnem, like it says in the pasuk that we mentioned, Ki Al Pi HaDvar Me'ela, because based on the mouth of these words, Karati itcha bris, Be'es Yisrael, have I made a covenant with you and the Jewish people, again, based on Torah Shabbat Peh, either because it's the majority, as we said before, or actually, even though it's a minority, but it's because it's the hardest to learn, that's where the real reward is, that's where the krisis bris is, on the Torah Shabbat Peh. Now, Gemara continues quoting from our Mishnah that said, another halacha that ma'arvin bebayis yashin, that the eruv chatzeris has to be put into the house of that communal courtyard, you put into that house that it was always put in the old house, memnei darkei shalom, to maintain the peace. So the Gemara is my timer. What's the reason? What's the peace that we're maintaining by keeping the eruv in that same old house? And that is ilam and mishum covered. If you think it's because of the dignity, the honor of the original homeowner, like why are they taking it away from me? What did I do wrong? It's going to cause a dispute. But the Gemara says that doesn't seem correct because of ahushi pura. There was a certain shayfar that was used to blow, that they would make the certain shayfaris blast erev Shabbos to remind people that it's about to be Shabbos and you have to desist from certain things. Where the Havami Kara Bei Rabbi Yehuda. Originally, this Shefer was kept in the house of Rabbi Yehuda, who he was the Rosh Hashiva in Pumbedisa. Ula B'Saif, afterwards, when he passed away, and then Rabbi became the Rosh Hashiva, then they put a Bei Rabbi in Rabbi's house. Ula B'Saif, and after Rabbi, then Rabbi Yosef was the Rosh Hashiva, then they put a Bei Rabbi Yosef in Rabbi Yosef's house. Ula B'Saif, Bei Abai, and then afterwards came Abai, they put in Abai's house. Ula B'Saif, Bei Rabbi, and at the end, then they put in Rabbi's house. So you see, seemingly, that there's no concern for, what do you mean? Why are you taking it out of my house? What's with my covet? What's with my family? So because he's not anymore, so you now take it into a new one. Obviously, we're not concerned from that. Now, actually, Rashi brings from Rav Shrira Goyen that he explains that actually Shipura is that actually refers to a certain box, which was shaped like a shofar, so that person can't reach in, which was the box where they would put donations, and they would put donations that were sent to the B'nai Yeshiva, which is like similarly like we find in Zechel Shkolim, there were 13 shayfaris in the Mikdash, which were certain boxes that they would put money in. But one thing that we see is that according to either interpretation, that we weren't concerned about moving it from house to house. So we see that we're not concerned for the dignity of the person that had this Dvar Mitzvah up until now. So Al-Rav, the Gemara says, the reason for this Darkei Shalom is Meshum Chashada, because of suspicion, of suspect. In other words, since it was always known that the Eruv was put into that guy's house, if you're going to change its location, so someone that's going to come into that house, and he's not going to see the Eruv over there, so he's going to suspect that the people in this chatzar, in this courtyard, are carrying without an Eruv. So because of, that's what the Mishnah is calling, Darkei Shalom, that to maintain the peace, that people won't start suspecting other Jews of doing things inappropriate, you maintain in the house that it always was, so people know that this chatzar still has an Eruv. Now the Mishnah then said another halacha, that Boishu Karav La'ama V'chulu, that the pit that's closest to the canal that gets the water from the stream, from the river, that's the first one that fills up his pit with water, and then lower down later. Now, related to this halacha of the Mishnah, which will become related in a second, the Gemara says, Idmar, there's the following machlokes amayron. Regarding b'nei nahara, regarding people that their fields are at the edge of the river. So we have machlokes Rav and Shmuel. Rav, he says that actually, tatoi shasu mai bereisha, The people with their fields lower downstream, they take the water first. The Shmuel Amri says, no, Eloi Shosamai Beresha, the upper fields, they drink, they get the water for their fields first. So the Gemara actually explains that Bide Mezel, if you don't need to stop up the river to be able to take it and irrigate your field, rather you just go ahead and draw it and take it to your field, and the river continues flowing as it always does, meaning mezel from the term of flowing, kuli amalei pliki. So there, no one disagrees. There's no machlekes Rav and Shmuel. Whoever wants to draw the water could draw the water. There's no, you don't have to have the upper first or the second first. You want to draw, you draw, because there's nothing that really gets in the way. The river's flowing as it is. Ki pligi b'miskar v'ashkuye. The machlekes Rav and Shmuel was regarding that it's not possible for both of them to draw the water of the river together at the same time. Because to be able to be mashka, to draw the water, to irrigate your field, you have to first stop the river so that you could divert it to your field. So the story is talking about that the upper fields wanted to stop it up so that the water doesn't continue downstream, so that they could then divert the river to go through their little pipes that they have in their irrigation canals in their own fields till their whole field is watered. But the lower fields are trying to stop the upper fields by saying no. Only if we water our fields first, then you could do that. So that's where the machlekes Rav and Shmuel is. Shmuel Amr Eloi Shosamai Bereshit. It says that they could water their fields first. The Amri Anam Mekarvin Etvei, because they could say we're closer. The water first comes near us, so we could divert it first. Rav Amr Tatoi Shosamai Bereshit. Rav says no. The lower ones can water their fields first, because the Amri Nahar Kapashtei Leiz. They say no. yes, you're closer. You can do whatever you want withdrawing it, but you can't stop it up and divert it. Let the river go as it always does. So for us, it's much easier. It's going to come right into our fields. But you're going to have to divert it. You can't do that. You can't mess with the river. You could draw from it, but to mess with it, unless you could do it after we do it, and then you could do it. That's Machlokes Rav and Shmuel. Now, the Gemara asked on Rav from the halacha of the Mishnah that we just quoted. It's not related in the Mishnah that said, Boir HaKarv La'ama, we said that the pit that's closest to where the canal begins as it's coming out from the river, which that's Eloi, those are the higher fields, Mismali region, they fill up their pits first, Memnei Darker Shalom, because of the ways of peace. So seemingly the halacha is like Shmuel, where the ones that are higher up, they take first, and not like Rav. So the Gemara says that Tigim Shmuel Alib the Rav, that Shmuel, actually his disputant, he actually interprets it, the halacha of the Mishnah for Rav, that it's not a difficulty on the Rav. Because the halacha of our Mishnah is talking about, Ba'ama ha-misalechas al-pi bayroi. It's talking about a canal that actually passes right over the upper field's pits, where it gets filled up by itself as it's passing through. And he doesn't have to stop up the river. So that's why it's not difficult on Rav, because of course, if it's just passing over, so then, yes, the upper ones, because of Darker Shalom, get it filled first. But Rav was talking about a case where they would have to divert it. To divert it, that Rav holds that the lower fields have the rights to say, no, let the river flow as it always does. And when we're done, then you could go ahead and divert it to your field. But the Mishnah is talking about where it goes by itself. Now the Gemara asks, Ihachi, my lememra. So the Gemara asks, according to this interpretation of Shmuel for Rav and Halacha, the Mishnah, if that's the case, that it fills it by itself, what was the necessity of the Mishnah saying that? It's pretty obvious. Why would you think that? What do you want me to do? Of course the upper ones are going to get it. It does it by itself. So the Gemara says no. Because Ma'ad Utema, we would think to say, Matzi Amri Le, that the lower fields could tell the upper fields, Sochar Miskar, you have to stuff up the opening of your pit that the water should not go in because it's diminishing the flow of the river. Because you can't mess with the river. Now, although your pit is there, correct, but it's messing with the flow. So you got to stuff up your pit, the Ashke Behindasam, and then you would have to go ahead and manually draw the water from the flow of the river like we do. Because although you're right, it's happening by itself, but what do you mean happening by itself? But you shouldn't allow it to mess up the flow. Kamash Mulan, that's the Chiddush of the Mishnah according to this interpretation. Then no, because of Darkei Shalom, because we don't want them to fighting, it happens by itself. Okay, then the upper one can get it first, and then they don't have to stuff up their pit, and then the lower one gets it. But again, if it's something that they want to manually divert that river, that is like Rav had said, that no, then the lower ones have the rights to say, don't mess with the river, we'll take first, and then you take second. Now, Amar Rav Huna bar Tachlifa, he concludes this discussion by saying that, Hashadulay Itmer Hilchasa, now that the halacha was not said, Loikumar v'loikumar, we didn't say if the halacha is like Rav or Shmuel, about is it the upper fields that get the rights first, or the lower fields, so the halacha is what's called Kol De'ol Gevar. Whoever is stronger, let the strongest man win. Whoever is stronger, whoever is mightier, he wins. In other words, as Rashi explains, must be that Rav Huna bar Tachlifa didn't hold of what's commonly mentioned many times in Shas, that Tahilchasa Kishmul Bedini, where generally we follow like the halacha like Shmuel when it comes to monetary law, where seemingly the halacha should be that it's the Eloi, but obviously Rav Huna bar Tachlifa does not agree to that, and that's why he says that since we didn't pass in either way, whoever wins, meaning we're not going to get involved, and whoever is the stronger one will get the water first. Now, actually, a story related to this, the Gemara says, Rav Shimi ba'ashi osle kamei da'abaya. He came in front of Abaya, and Omalei, he said to him, Leisvin mar be'idna. Let the master set a time that I want to learn with the master at a certain time. Let's make a seder together. So Omalei, Abaya said to him, look, he said, Isli idna ladidi. I have time set already for myself to learn. I don't have time to learn with you. So he said, "V'leisin marble elias." So let's make a time to learn at nighttime. Amalei Sabai said to him, "Isli my lashkoi. I'm busy. I don't have time. I have to water my fields." So Amalei, so Rav Shimi Ba'ashi said to him, "Look, ano mashkina leila mar maya b'imama. You know what I'll do? I'll water the master's fields during the daytime. V'leisin marble elias, and then we'll be able to learn at nighttime. Because by daytime I'll be watering your fields, and you'll learn you have to do. And at nighttime, when you used to water, then I already took care of that. We'll be able to learn at nighttime." So Amalei Lachai, Abai said, Givaldik says, great, for sure, total, let's do that. Now, Azali Loi, so now what Rav Shimon Ba'ashi did, he wanted to be expedient as possible, because he also wanted to learn. So Azali Loi went to the upper fields. Amalehu, he said to them, Tatoi Shosamai Beresha. The lower fields, they water first, and you're not allowed to stuff it up. to go ahead and divert it to you. Which means to say, he was telling the halachas like Rav, because Abaye's field was somewhere in the middle. So he told the upper field, look, you know, you can't divert it, because halachas like Rav. Azli Tatoyam, then he went to the lower fields, which were under him, were under Abaye's fields, and he said to them, look, Eloi Shasamai Beresha, like Shmuley told him. He says, the upper fields drink first. They get first, so I'm going to take first. I'm going to divert it. Now, Adahachi Sacher Miskavashki, so in the meantime, before anyone realized what was going on, he went and diverted the water, and he watered the Abaye's fields. Now, Kiosli Kamei Abaye, when they came in front of Abaye, and Abaye was wondering, wow, how do you do this so fast? Amalei, Abaye said to him, when he heard what he did, he says, Kebetre Avdisli? What you did for me, like these two different opinions? Which means, say, for the upper fields, you told them like Rav, and for the lower fields, you told them like Shmuel? Veloitemino Abaye Leperda Hishait. Abaye didn't want to have any pleasure from those fruits from the entire year, because again, he felt it was inappropriate that he was doing with conflicting opinions so that he could go first before the uppers and the lower ones. Now the Gemara continues with another story relating to this sugya. Hanu b'nei be'chermach, the people of this place of the city Chermach, the azul karu b'resha d'shanvasa. What they did was, is that they dug and they made a diversion at the top of this river of Shanvasa, vadrua, and they went around the Shadua Bishili Nahara, and they had it come back at the bottom of the river. In other words, they wanted to surround their fields with the waters of the river. So they dug at the top of the river, which was where the top of their fields were. And then they went around like a ches, to make like a box almost, around their fields. And at the end of the field, it went around and came back down to the bottom, to the bottom of the river. That's what they did to be able to have the easy access to water all around their fields. Now, asu iloi l'kamei dabai. Now, however, the upper fields, higher up above them, higher up where this river was, those people came to complain by Abaye. Amrulei, they said to him, kamaske l'naharin. Now, the problem is now our river is getting stuffed up because since they went around with it and diverted it, now the water doesn't flow fast. And since it doesn't flow fast around where it turns, so now the water is starting to flood up in our fields. Because that's actually what happens when you make a turn in a river, the water can't flow as fast because of the bend, and therefore it's starting to come up by our field. So Amalahu Abaye said to them by the upper fields, this is what's your problem? Kar bahadayu tfei porta. Dig by your part of the river a little bit deeper so that when it comes to the turn, when it's flowing up because it's getting blocked up, although it's going fast, it's not going to come flood up because it's deeper down, so it won't flood your fields. Now, Amalei, but they said to him, no, that's problematic, because koyavshi peirin, that's going to make, if we're going to dig deeper down, that's going to dry up our trenches, because if, let's say there's times that the river the tide is not so high, so our water in our trenches are going to be deeper down because we made it deeper because you said it's overflowing in our fields, and then it's going to be too deep down, and the moisture is not going to be there, and the water is not going to be there to come into our trenches to have enough. So Amalahu, Abaye heard their complaints. It sounded legitimate. So Abaye said to the people to Bnei Chermach, he said, Zilu sliku nafshaychu mehasan. You have to remove yourself from that place. In other words, you have to stuff up this diversion that you made going around your fields, because yes, it's inappropriate, because you can't just mess, as we said, regarding the rivers. You can do what won't cause any harm to other people, but you have to keep nature as it was. Now, in this case, where you're causing, by making that bend, that's causing their ditches to overflow, and for me, what I told them to make it deeper is also not an option, because then actually in times when there's not enough water, it's going to dry up, so therefore he made them in that situation to remove themselves from creating this diversion and to keep things as it always was up until then.